Hello, world! What's up, guys? This is Dave Van Auken once again on the Fight Bananas podcast. How's everyone doing? Oh, man, it's going to be awesome. We are just churning out content. Content is king. Here we go. Tina Pettigrew is about to come on the show, but before she does, let's thank some of our sponsors who support us. We love them so much. Instill Nutrition. Check out instillnutrition.com. Head to their website. Get some of that joints as itch you. I take it twice daily. It's legit. It works. Trust me. InstillNutrition.com. Go hit it up right now. And our boys at Fusion CBD Products, put in that code FIGHT20, FusionCBDProducts.com, to get 20% off all the order. But they got mega sales on their website right now. FusionCBDProducts.com. Check them out right now. I'm telling you, mega deals. And get that six-pack of water. Six-pack for $19.50. Go get it. Guys, let's go bananas with Tina Pettigrew. All right, guys, here we go. Back on the Fight Bananas podcast, my friend Tina Pettigrew. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. Last time I talked to you, it was like a whirlwind. Just kind of got that call up in Invicta FC. I think you were moving. There was like so much going on, gyms. So how are you doing now? We're kind of past or hopefully past this corona pandemic. So how's everything with you?
Everything is... It might feel like it's passed to you because you live in Florida. I think that like our gyms aren't technically back open or anything like that. So for us, things are still not quite back to normal.
Wow. How hard is that? I've talked to so many fighters over the last 4 to 6 weeks. And, you know, no one really understands because this is your job. This is your 9 to 5. It's not like, you know, someone that works at Lowe's or, you know, a police officer. This is what you do. You train at a gym to improve your skills. How has it been to not really be in your gym like you're used to?
It's been really weird. It's been really weird. Not just that, but I coach at a gym too. So in my coaching, we're doing only virtual classes. And, everything that we do in martial arts is very close physical contact. And right. I think that everybody in the world now is sort of second guessing how physically close you are to people. Right. So it's such a mind F, if you will, to an extent. But I do think that there are small communities within martial arts that are still doing what they were doing. And, you know, in some ways that's a good thing and it's necessary. In other ways, it's maybe not the safest thing.
Right.
You know, I mean, at the end of the day, in the United States, at least, we're all, for the most part, able to make our own decisions about that kind of stuff. So it's, you know, it is whatever you make it, I suppose.
Right. Yeah. Okay. It's funny what you just kind of said, because that's where I'm going with it. A recording artist can make a YouTube song and it hits and then next thing you know, it just kind of snowballs. So Instagram stories, Tina Pettigrew, Angie Hill has a really, really close fight with Claudia over UFC Jacksonville. And Tina Pettigrew goes, "What the F?" on the decision. And then like your next post was like, "Hey, I'm really apologize for my language." But I was like, "Oh no, you're literally big time in the moment." So I would love for you to kind of let's hit on that right there on Angie Hill's performance for one and two, how you feel about, of course, the decision.
Sure. So I've known Angela for a long time in different contexts. Well, I wouldn't say different contexts. Through fighting is how I met her in New York, but I've known her for a long time, almost 10 years. And I've always known that Angela was capable of championship level fights. And I do think that especially now more than ever, she is a championship level fighter.
Right. Right.
Okay. Just get that out of the way. Like I trained with Angela. I know her. We're pals. So I know what she can achieve and I know what she deserves. And I know that I heard an interview with her where she was like, I felt like I was on a 6-fight win streak because I felt like those fights were taken from me. Because if you look at her record and you see the people that she's faced and what has actually happened in those fights, she doesn't get knocked out. I mean, she was submitted by Randa, however many millions of fights ago feels like, but other than that, like she, you can't really finish Angela, okay? So it's not like she's ever really been completely dominated, especially when she takes short notice fights and fights people of all different levels, whatever the ranking may be, all of that. I'm saying all of this to say that I know what Angela's capable of. And so when she went into this fight, I knew that what she could bring. And I knew that she could beat Claudia. And when I was watching the fight live, I remember thinking in the third round, like, my boyfriend and I were like on the edge of, I want to say our seats, but it was the bed, because we just got this TV gifted to us. So we were just like sitting on the edge of the bed watching it.
Nice.
And, you know, like every single time that Angie got the best of Claudia, we were like, yes, it's like, we were doing a mental note. You know how they do the significant strikes,
yes, yes.
See whatever. We could tell, right? Because we were watching the fight, because we're fighters, right? We could tell that Angie was winning the fight. She drops Claudia. She keeps pecking at her, messing up her face, all of that. And after the third round was over, I was like, yes, she just beat a ranked fighter, like top 10 fighter. Like, this is going to be really good for her. And I remember turning to my boyfriend as I was pulling out my phone. Like, I was like getting the decision, because it's always really exciting to like zoom in on your friend. Like,
right.
And as I was zooming in, right before I turned it on, I looked at him and I said, what do you think? Because I always try to be as objective as possible.
Sure.
And I was like, well, what do you think of that fight? And he was like, yeah, I think Angie won. And I said, you know, I would be really surprised if they called Claudia's name. And then they did. And I wasn't just surprised. I was shocked. Like, I really don't know how that happened. I really don't. But it's not like we've never seen judges make decisions like that before.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right.
And I can tell you, like, Angela, like, when fights go to decision and people say don't let the judges, like, you know, establish your fate or don't leave it to the judges or whatever. Yes. Yes, totally. But at a level like that, it is hard to put someone out who knows what they're doing, who
Thank
is athletic,
you.
Who has been training for weeks and weeks and weeks
Thank you.
To put you away.
Yes.
Like, you guys are both trying to put each other away. Yeah, you can say don't leave it to the judges. Much easier said than done.
Right.
You know?
Real quick, and Tina, like, I love that note. I've said it so many times, like, to a teacher out there, hey, you should become the best teacher in the state. Win it. Well, that the judges do it. It's like, no, you just become the best teacher in the world. Like, there's other yeah. teachers trying to be the best teachers, too. Like, people don't understand. Claudia, who is a stud, who is a top five, top seven fighter. You know, her and Joanna's fight is one of the best female fights yeah. I've ever seen. One of the best fights, period, I've ever seen. So we know how good she is. And it's like, guys, no one understands. She's trying for 15 minutes. The hardest she is to stop Angie. You know what I mean? Like, that's what she's trying to do. It's mind-blowing.
And especially in the UFC, like, any of the competitive, super competitive professional promotions, like, these are people who were born competitors. Like, they would rather, like, have a digit cut off than lose a fight. These are people who live, eat, and breathe competition.
Right.
Like, for people to think that it's easy to put someone like that away, especially if you've never done something like fight someone, is ignorant.
Oh,
my
yeah.
point is, I think Angie took that fight, but it sucks that the judges, she didn't get her win bonus. Like, there's a lot of things that didn't happen because of that, and it does. It sucks. Oh, and the main reason I apologized on the next story is because some of my students' parents follow me on Instagram, and when I'm teaching their students, I never use profanity.
Sure,
so I don't want them to think that I'm just like flying off the handle, like talking like a sailor all the time. I don't want to set a bad example or anything, but it did really shock me.
Right, and like you said, you talk so high of her, and in the heat of the moment, when something like that is, like you said, it's taken away. She works so dang hard to win for, you know, not even the money aspect of it on the win side of it, but just what it means to keep on propelling her career. It's a really big deal. Kind of real funny thing, or not to go back, is a lot of people on social media, they put the picture of Angela Hill smiling right in the hotel room with her team. And then they put the picture of Claudia, who's, you know, busted up, looks like Rocky won. And they said, like, if you go to school the next day, who won this fight? And Angie's like, she looks beautiful, clean, pristine. It was kind of like the Johnny Hendricks GSP of like 5-6 years ago. Where I kind of want to take this a little bit is, and I don't if with you being with Invicta, and Invicta FC is their last, before this whole corona pandemic, they did that open scoring in Kansas City. And I've been such a high, I think on the show, I don't know if we talked about it then, but I've been talking about it for years now. It's just, it's absurd that Angela Hill didn't know where she was at going into that third round. Because, you know, maybe if she knew she had to finish or had to win 10-8, maybe she turned, you know, you just never know. In any sport, we know what the score is. And it's unbelievable that in MMA and UFC, how high it is. It's on ESPN. It's the first sport back since the pandemic. And for us not to know what the score, it just seems like it's missing. I feel like in 3 years from now, we're going to be like, what? We used to smoke on airplanes and we didn't know the score of MMA? Yeah. Like, am I off on this?
Yeah. And it's a little weird because I'm not going to sit here and assume that people who are employed for a certain job aren't doing their job right. Okay.
Right.
But I can tell you that I have literally seen judges not watching fights.
Oh yeah.
I have seen and been in fights where one opponent acts like they won, but the other person did, and that sways the judges. Mm. I have seen and been in fights where someone who is outpointing, outgrappling, out everything is bleeding, and the judges think they're losing because they're the one bleeding. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like to really pay attention and to judge well isn't an easy job, but that doesn't mean that you can just check out or depend on the crowd to make the decision for you or whatever the case may be.
Right, and Tina, and even one better, like you brought up Florida. I'm here in Florida. I literally go to so many regional shows. I've commentated on shows. I've literally been at shows with the Florida Commission, right? And 2-3 hours before the show, and there's some of the fighters, they're literally sitting down playing Yahtzee with some of the commission. Literally people that are going to judge their fight. And it's like, wait a second, they're friends. Like, if you were fighting someone else that I didn't know and they asked me to judge, yeah, I would be a little bit on your side. That's just me being honest. Like we have a friendship. So if we talk about it, I would be pro Tina Pettigrew. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's unbelievable that they don't have just a more of a handle on a huge situation about judging in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in general, it's a really weird, cause there's not a lot of people who do that in general, where others outside would know what they're supposed to do. It's a very special, specialist sort of skill set to develop and world to become a part of. But yeah, I've seen commissioners talking to fighters like their pals.
Right.
And don't get me wrong. Like, I'm friends with the doctors at the fights. Like, I've met the commissioners before. Like, we're familiar. But it's like, when it comes down to it, like, your job is your job. And I know we're humans, but the idea is to be as objective and accountable as possible. But it's funny being in this world because there are quite a few situations, I think, where like your morality, your sense of like, if you have a conscience, really not as tested, but will show itself.
Right.
And I think during this pandemic is one of those times, you know, like I literally limited the amount of people that I was training with. And for a while there was training by myself. Not because I was afraid of getting sick, but because I actually looked into the science of it and I didn't want to be responsible for anybody else getting sick.
Right, right, right.
And I think that people are so ignorant about that. It's like people are talking about these masks, you know, like, oh, wearing a mask isn't going to prevent me from getting sick. That's not what a mask is for. The mask is to prevent the people that you're around from getting whatever you have.
Right,
it's not to prevent you from getting sick.
Right.
It's just so, I don't know.
It's crazy. So kind of where we were on that. So do you like the open scoring system that Invicta FC has kind of implemented, and hopefully they're going to go forward, and hopefully UFC picks it up too. It's not perfect. It's still probably bad decisions from the decision makers, but at least I feel like a little bit you kind of put the ball in the court of the fighters a little bit. If Angela Hill thinks she's up, and then in the scorebook, one had 30-27 that she's losing. If they see after two rounds, 29 27 in a way, it's like, okay, I got to go. Like I'm literally going to lose this fight. So, I'm going to try to a TKO or maybe try to submission that I maybe wouldn't have, because she's not there to make a decision. She's there for the win. That's it. Like, she's there to win and move on. So I just think it would really change up the game.
I agree. I think that it will make them, at least in theory, more accountable for actually scoring in real time, like, and knowing that people are going to know what they actually scored. I don't know. My fight with Invicta, nobody, I don't think any of the judges gave me a round at all. And I literally came back to my corner after my first round, and the my coach was like, "You won that round, but, you know," and I think one of them even said that there was a 10-8 round, like that it was a 26-30. And, you know, I'm not saying I didn't lose the fight. I definitely lost the fight. But it, like, I didn't get my ass beat.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, at all. Like, if anything, I got, like, peppered with shots. But my point is that I do think that had I known that not one judge gave me the first round, I would have thought about it a little differently going into the second and third round. Because there were some things that happened in that fight with my body where I was like, okay, must adjust, you know. so had I known that, I think that something would have definitely changed, having been in that, you know, situation. And not just that, but I think that it's no secret what judges are crooked, like in certain states.
Sure. Sure.
What I mean?
At least sometimes they're looking for something different. Some judges are, hey, if you out-wrestle the fighter, and if you out-wrestle them for a minute with a takedown, you won the round. Doesn't matter if the other, you know, pepper them for 4 or 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Right. So some judges are all different. It's a wild, you know, it's kind of like an ongoing problem that there's really, in a way, no resolution. You know, open scoring, I think, helps. I think maybe 5 or 7 judges help the more eyes on something because you know, me and you, if my favorite movie is Avengers and Jerry Maguire, you might be like, Dave, that's crazy. But if we ask 100 people, you know, you get more of a take. So, but okay. Yeah, I really do. Let's hit on you. We'll kind of end it on, you know, we haven't talked since, Invicta FC and your debut. I know it didn't go the way you wanted. But just how was it to, you know, fight on that platform on UFC Fight Pass? How did you feel? It's all the glitz and the glamour. And next time, are you just like, okay, I'm over it a little bit. It's cool. UFC Fight Pass. I'm in there to kick some butt for 15 minutes.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, to fight for Invicta. When I got signed to Invicta and got that fight right away, it wasn't a surprise. I had been working for it for a really long time, but I didn't really like absorb much of it at all.
Right.
And I think that the way that things happened there had a lot less to do with Invicta and my opponent and UFC Fight Pass. Like, those things matter. They do. But my performance was solely created by me and what I was dealing with before that, that I kind of maybe, I wish I had handled differently.
Right.
I think the worst part of that experience for me, since it was my first loss, is, and I think I said this in the interview with Invicta beforehand, but of course they didn't air it because who wants to air shit about like this, but is that I didn't perform to my full potential. And sometimes when you are out of touch with yourself, that's what happens. You act out of character.
Right.
So that's all that happened in that fight. Like, if I'm going to boil it down to, you know, what was the reason I lost the fight, or why did I perform the way I did, if you want to call that a performance, is that I wasn't myself, and it felt really bad. It felt gross. It felt like, I don't know, what's a good example to, like, I guess if you're trying to get something done at work, and you prepared for a while for it, you did everything you thought you were supposed to, and then it really fell flat, and you let a lot of people down.
Right. Sure.
You know, and it's like, and it's nothing to blame outside forces. It was just all like some stuff that I, you know, that happened that made it where I didn't perform to my best. But yeah, I'm really happy to be signed with Invicta. I would love to fight for them when the time comes again soon. I'm definitely keeping my eye out on the fighters in my division there. I always have been. I think that, you know, I have long-term goals and I want to fight really hard fights. And, you know, I do think that there's some stuff that I have to work on with my martial arts to really, you know, perform to my best potential. But, you know, Invicta is the place to be. Listen, there are people who fight on the local circuit until they're 10-0.
Right, right.
And then there are people like me who get signed to places like Invicta for your second fight, and then you're fighting stiff competition the whole way. Yeah. Like, you know, it's just a different way of going about your career than I think many other fighters do. But it's okay. I mean, in time, we'll each get our own. So,
absolutely. The two things I want to pick up on for sure is one, it's probably, you know, it seems like each week or 2 weeks of life, or especially on this podcast, we've had this thread, and the thread has been like the mentality. We joke about it in a way. Every male lightweight is 155 pounds. They weigh 178. They're all 5'8 to 5'11. Like, they're all so similar. That's just kind of because of the weight. And their skill is, they're all so great. It's this whole mentality. Like, that's the end of the, you know, that's who, you know, what happened to Justin Gaethje. And then also, with you said a loss, Gaethje said that, like, hey, those two losses were awesome for me. Like, I learned so much more on those losses than those 13 wins before that. So a loss sometimes isn't the worst thing. It's not the death nail at any means in MMA. Masvidal was the fighter of 2019. He has 13 losses. But just back to the mentality parts, like, everyone is almost the same. Like, I don't want to, you know, go that ballpark, but in basketball, there's guys that are 7 foot and 6'1", and there's just, you can't guard that guy. Like, you're in a cage with the same body type. You guys probably have close to the same years. Both have great gyms. It's literally like mentality. Like, where you're at mentally in that moment is kind of who wins the fight now. It's really kind of, you use the whole boiled thing. It's when you boil it down, that's kind of it. It's like, where are you at mentally, and who's right now in the best spot usually takes the W that night.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, like, what happened to me before that fight was, like, honestly, some pretty devastating stuff. Like, really shitty life stuff. And, you know, I kept telling myself the story of, if you're going to make this your life, if you're going to make fighting your life, there's going to be disasters that happen while you're in camp.
Right.
And you're still going to have to do it. And that's the story I told myself, when really what I was doing, even though I was telling myself that's what I was doing, is pushing away those problems. I wasn't dealing with them as they came, because I kept saying, I have to focus on this. I have to focus on this. I have to focus on this. And I think because I did that, I got injuries in my camp. I didn't get enough sleep in my camp. I was worried sick about my dad. And it was just like a lot of stuff that was like, you know, that I should have just addressed instead of pushing it away. Because what ended up happening is, all of those corners that I sort of cut, that I told myself that I was actually sacrificing because of the fight, surfaced in the fight.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
No, 100%. Like, I totally get it. I know exactly where you're coming from. So, wow. But hey, it's over. And next time when Tina gets in that ring, it's going to be you know, a W for Invicta FC. Hopefully they come back soon. Seems like you know, Titan FC is back for Fight Pass in a couple weeks. UFC is putting up events back on the 30th. Burns and Woodley as their main event. So they're rolling. They're rolling. So happy to talk to you. Yeah, the floor is yours. I give you the end. If you, any kind of sponsor plugs or anything you want to get off your chest, or it was just cool. I don't know why. I saw your Instagram post about Angie. I was like, okay, I got to talk to Tina about it. I really do. I just thought it was, came out of left field. Almost the whole world thinks she won, and it is what it is. But, you know, she'll be fine. She's such a great fighter and such has a great mind. She'll be back better than ever.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that, since we all saw the same fight, hopefully Angela will get the opportunities that she deserves, even though technically it was an L. So, you know, that's a good thing to look forward to. But listen, I understand why she's better. She wants to fight tomorrow.
I love it.
I think the only thing that I really want to say is that when I first lost this fight, the one is realizing that the best in the game lose, you know, the best in the game. Like, literally, you said Masvidal, Amanda Nunes, like, everybody loses.
Right.
That's just kind of like a part of this game. So, you know, I mean, it does sting, but at the end of the day, I know that I'm better than that. And it's all good. I mean, I like to put on a show and have a good time. And I think that in that case, I didn't do either of those things. So, you know, now I'm going to make sure that no matter what, I'm going to put on a show and have a good time. Because at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about. I mean, what else can you ask for? Honestly?
Right.
Everything else is just like,
stuff.
Noise.
Yes, noise. It's funny you say that The Last Dance and Michael Jordan had a big documentary on ESPN, like everyone's been watching it, and one of the last games he played, it was like the big highlight, and the stat line, he shot 35 shots in the game, and he made 15, and it was like, some people say it's like one of the greatest games ever played. He missed 20 shots, he made 20, and made 15. Like,
more than he made.
He literally missed more than he made, but like, people, like, it's this iconic game. With him winning and him making the last shot. So it's just, yeah, sometimes you miss. That's just life, you know? But Tina, I always love talking to you. You're welcome anytime. If anything pops up, please let us know. And yeah, I definitely have a great day. We'll talk to you real soon.
You too. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Talk to you later.